This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Multi-award-winning wildlife photographer Sanjit Pal Singh has been capturing the immense wonders that our Malaysian natural heritage has to offer, sharing with us a hidden world that so many of us can only dream about. But how does photography complement and promote environmental conservation? Well, joining me now to share that is Sanjit himself, and he's also going to share how he uses the camera to bring wider knowledge on wildlife to everyone. Welcome, Sanjit. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining us, Sanjit. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I actually spoke to your wife, Dr. Ravinder Kaur, who is also a she's a wildlife researcher. And, you know, I know together the both of you, you know, you do a lot of conservation work together. And I know that you've been in this line for almost 20 years, right? Tell me a little bit about that. You know, when did you first know that you wanted to be a photographer, and how did you go about pursuing this dream?
Well, in my younger days, I always wanted to experience cultures through traveling, and I managed to get a job in a travel magazine. You know, being young, I wanted to party as well, so I got a job at an entertainment magazine. So travel and party, what else could you ask for, right?
That's right.
And as a kid, I was always only allowed to watch documentaries on TV, and I was in awe of all the visuals of wildlife. I always wondered, how on earth did they do it? From the many assignments that I had with travel magazines, that kid in me woke up again and said, let's go. So through the many years of working in various fields, lo and behold, I am now a nature, wildlife and conservation photographer. And that's a dream come true for me, really.
That's excellent. You know, so many people are envious of the work that you do, but I mean, it's not an easy job, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, have you had any sort of formal photography training?
During my college days, there was a short course while I was studying journalism, and that actually got me hands-on with the camera itself. And that short course actually gave me the affirmation that this is what I really wanted to do. And where I am today is no different from where I always wanted to be. I have a wonderful career, and I regret nothing. I was just being persistent in achieving that dream. Although there are many forks on the road along the way, it was the mistakes, it was the failures, it was the heartaches that made me realize that I'm so much more stronger, yet still learning and growing to always give my best in what I do, which is to show the beauty of our natural heritage to the world.
And, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do. And, you know, like I said, you're so blessed to be able to do it. But how did that love of nature and wildlife and, you know, then transcend into photography? You know, how did all of that come into the picture?
Nature and wildlife, it kind of like grasped and embraced me. You know, it's a comforting feeling like no other. They do call it Mother Nature or Mother Earth. And I believe that I'm put here on this planet for a cause. And I hope that everyone realizes that deep within their souls, that each and every one of us has a purpose. So intuitively, photographing nature and wildlife made me realize that my purpose is to help others. And by following this, you might say it's kind of like a divine intervention for me. This is currently my primary focus, to help others, not only the nature and wildlife that we are surrounded by, but those that work with nature and wildlife as well. And so by using the pictures that I have and I'm about to obtain, you know, I personally pledged to myself that I will continuously support conservation and societies.
Okay, all right. And, you know, I was reading in a previous interview that you did where you said that there's nowhere that you'd rather do photography than, you know, right here in your own backyard here in Malaysia. You know, why is that?
I'm patriotic that way.
Well done.
I've received various feedbacks from good mates of mine saying that, oh, you should go and photograph in Africa and other parts of the world. Mm. But honestly, that'll be great. But hello, Malaysia has tremendous amount of biodiversity. There's always more to discover and to document here before I move on to other parts of the world. There's just so much that Malaysia has to offer. Apart from just wildlife, you know, we've got beautiful landscapes as well.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a hidden sort of plus point from the pandemic, you know, that people have finally, you know, before the lockdown, of course, people started traveling more around Malaysia and realizing how immensely beautiful our country is and just how much it has to offer. You know, we don't need to go, you know, people come here for those experiences and we are busy trying to go elsewhere. But, you know, and I think your work also helps to get people to realize that, you know, Malaysia is immensely blessed, you know, with our natural heritage. And I think that photography plays a huge role in that as well.
It really does. And yes, Malaysia is beautiful. Why leave?
And, you know, I was reading somewhere else, and this is another interview with a wildlife photographer as well. And that person said that when it comes to wildlife photography, you need to become a good naturalist first, you know, and then a wildlife photographer. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Let's put it this way. We always need to look through the lens from both sides. And personally, for me, I photographed anything and everything that was in my path and studied those subjects after. So after photographing them, I hit the books. I reckon that we are all moved by how we pursue something. It could be art, it could be music, it could be dating a girl that you want to marry. But perhaps the sentiment was realized by that someone while he or she was at a fork or on a road. And I applaud this person for realizing the message that translated through images is a powerful form of communication, whether you're a naturalist, photographer, or better yet, if you're both. So I can't disagree, but this is my personal opinion.
Okay. All right. And just talking about the work that you do, right, as a photographer, you know, we only get to see the end product. But what I'd really love to know, of course, is the story behind capturing those beautiful shots in the wild. And you have, you know, produced some amazing shots in your career. Can you share how you prep for a shoot, you know, and how, you know, how do you approach wildlife photography, especially while in the jungle?
Wow. This is actually very important. And I would like to perhaps maybe keep it as light and breezy because this is a very important aspect of going out, prepping and conducting the shoot. So a typical day for me starts at about 3 or 4 in the morning. And whether it's going to be a long drive or a long hike, one of the most vital in the prep stage is not only to be physically prepared, but also mentally. The days could be long and there's no day that is less than 12 hours of constant focus. It could be focusing on a nesting bird or chasing after a herd of elephants. It's a dangerous world out there and it truly takes a lot from your physique and state of mind. No shoot is worth a life. Yet I'm eager to go out for my next adventure in the mystifying world of nature and wildlife. So my approach to wildlife photography is to keep an open mind and expect the unexpected. As everything can be planned to detail, yet everything changes very quickly in the natural environment, there are subjects that we do not have any control whatsoever. There's no way that we can control nature and wildlife. It's surely not a fashion shoot in the studio. Mm-hmm. So I've had days, even up to weeks, with what I can call the Doolittle syndrome, where I find myself talking to the animals and trees, wishing for something magnificent to happen. And some days I'm just happy as Snow White, you know, being surrounded by all kinds of wildlife species, and I get to document them in their natural environment. Equipment. Always cross-check your equipment the night before. You know, be sure that you have all the gear that you need and know where every single item is at all times. You know, this will make your shooting process smoother and you won't be kicking yourself at forgetting that extra battery or memory card. These are hard lessons that I've learned. So I was like, oh, yikes. Why is the camera blinking red? The battery's low. Something amazing is happening. But in a nutshell, it takes an extreme amount of focus because there's simply no room to goof off while you're deep in the jungle because lives are at stake while you're in these environments. Well, I hope I answered your question about my approach to wildlife photography.
No, definitely. Because, you know, you are entering someone else's sphere. You know, this is not a controlled environment, like you said, you know, like a fashion shoot. This is something where there's so many things that are unexpected. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how you must respect the jungle when you enter it, right? So that was why I was very curious about how, you know, your approach to it. And I guess my other question is, how do you ensure that the work that you do is also respectful, you know, to the forest and to that landscape that, you know, so many call home?
These are some of my best practices in terms to respect nature and wildlife. Firstly, is always to keep your distance. You know, these are wildlife. You know, don't go petting on a baby orangutan or a sun bear thinking it's a plush toy. They can easily rip you apart. And when that happens, you only have yourself to blame for that. Respecting the environment. Well, we do not bushwhack any plants if it's in the way of the subject. You know, you just got to go out there and just find another angle. You know, these are the plants that are important to the wildlife survival. And if we take them away, we are kind of like destroying their home and their survival will be in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. In 2019, I was in an expedition with a team for close to 50 days. You know, I came out looking buff. but for that period of time, I had one water bottle and one Tupperware in which was used to refill our water, our lunches daily. Because if we start to trash and mess around with nature, yeah, look at where we are today with all kinds of crises and pandemics. So these are some of my best practices while I'm on an expedition.
Okay. All right. I'm speaking today to Sanjit Pal Singh. He's a nature and wildlife photographer, and we're discussing his work, you know, of conservation through a camera and, you know, how he captures all these beautiful pictures of wildlife and nature and how that actually complements conservation work. And we're going to continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Sanjit Pal Singh. He's a nature and wildlife photographer, and we're discussing his work capturing wildlife through his camera and how that actually complements conservation work. So, you know, just before the break, Sanjit, we were talking about, you know, ensuring that you're respectful to the forest landscape and, you know, how you're respectful in your work, you know, with the subjects that you're working with. But another thing I was curious about is the communities who live in and around the jungle. You know, do you ever collaborate with them to gain a better understanding and respect, you know, for the land?
Actually, yes. Yes, we do. And we collaborate with them all the time. They are actually the worthy heroes that ensure the survival of our natural heritage. They respect the lands and they take only what they need for their survival. Mm. You know, they are the treasure trove of knowledge. And as a photographer, my survival actually depends on those who are familiar with the lands and the wildlife within it. You can never go into the forest alone without an experienced local guide. You know, as much as the rainforest is the most glorious place on the planet, the dangers are real too. Yeah. So collaborating with local communities is the way to go to ensure that conservation succeeds in the long run. A point to consider is that the survival of every human being is dependent on nature itself. So once natural resources are gone, human extinction begins. So the bane of destruction of mankind is oneself. By working together with the local communities, it just makes life a little bit more interesting. It makes taking pictures and obtaining those grand images of wildlife, it helps. So whenever we as photographers can help local communities, we are encouraged to do so.
And I think we know that a lot of the communities who live in and around the forest area, you know, a lot of the time their land is being encroached upon, right? There's always this tussle between development and, you know, forest conservation and the conservation of the communities who live around there. Does your work also sort of capture these sorts of issues as well?
I do document these issues, but I still keep to my primary focus of nature and wildlife and showing beauty.
All right. Okay. You know, just going on the topic that I've been very curious to discuss, you know, how would you say that photography actually complements and promotes environmental conservation? You know, what role does it play?
Oh, all right. Yeah, this is why I keep doing it, actually. There's a lot that an image can tell about a particular species that we're working with at that particular time. It could be like a morphological difference in a similar species at a different part of the country, or a particular behavior that has never been documented before. These kind of images has helped conservationists to further their discoveries and provide valid points to protect important areas. Grand images are also a powerful tool, not only to attract funders, apart from the boring graphs and charts that are in all of the conservationist reports, you know. It also helps the masses to clearly understand the roles of a particular species and their importance to the complex and fragile ecosystem. I think it is then people are encouraged to protect wildlife and the natural world when they see what truly lies out there.
Mm-hmm. I think you're making a jab at wildlife conservationists with their graphs there, but let's not get into that.
They have pretty graphs too.
So you work with your wife, who is, as I mentioned earlier, wildlife researcher, Dr. Ravinder Kaur, and also with, you know, many other conservation groups as well. So maybe you can share a little bit about all these different collaborations with all these different conservationists.
Yes, I do work with Dr. Ravinder Kaur for the Hornbill Project and her partners such as Hutan KOCP. I mean, they conduct immaculate works for conservation and communities. Apart from being a visual guy, I also assist in data collecting and locating hornbill nests for the hornbill team. I also collaborate with RIMBA, an NGO, to document various bats and flying foxes species in which, you know, they are free to use the pictures and visuals however they see fit to further their research and to gain fundings. I'm certainly open to working and even collaborating with more NGOs to assist them to gain visual impact. I'm also part of a new group called Photo Science, which is a collective group of photographers where we set out to assist various NGOs for their visual needs. You might be curious, you know, how could one stay afloat by photographing monkeys and endangered wildlife? I'm actually a commercial photographer for property developers such as UM Land and WCT. And I also work with mobile tech giants such as Huawei. So with different collaborations with different conservationists, it's just helping them out. And they are such passionate people and they need the help. I mean, you can't expect them to be carrying their data sheets with their scopes and also having extra arms to photograph and document the species. So as a photographer, my heart is in nature and wildlife. And, you know, I have been very grateful that I could help them out however I did. And I will still continue doing that.
That's wonderful. And even in my conversation with Ravin and with other conservationists, you know, it's been a particularly tough year for those working in the conservation field. And, you know, did the pandemic come to affect your work as well? And if so, how are you sort of working to, you know, mitigate that impact?
Well, I used to wake up and, you know, have this desire to accomplish something, you know, whether it's a grand photo of a particular species or securing a commercial client for a dream project. I was selfish, I was stubborn, that helps sometimes, but these days I wake up and I ask myself, you know, how can I make this world a better place? Yes, the pandemic has affected the world of conservation. Fundings have been depleted, projects are on pause, you know, depression is sky high. I honestly lost it for the first couple of weeks, you know, when we had to just lock ourselves indoors. You know, me being an adrenalized monkey myself, you know, I needed to go out.
Sure.
So I started to spring clean from the front to back and left to right. And it helped me rediscover myself and my role as a wildlife photographer because I kept finding things that were just scattered around the house. And it's like, hey, you know, I did this before. This was kind of cool. And so what happened in was I discovered a folder that I created in the year 2018 that at that time I had an idea to transform my photography works into art pieces. And that's has now become my primary focus. You know, these are all they are all limited edition artworks printed on the highest grade of museum quality fine art archival paper. You know, it's such a mouthful to say. But some, if not most, of these artworks are one-off. Some are limited to 3 prints only. And the best part is they will never be reproduced. So how can I make this world a better place? Some of the artworks are currently hanging at Bats Lounge in Telawi. And we had an auction this year and raised 9,000 ringgit for conservation. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently, at this very moment, just a couple of days ago, we had a discussion. So I'm currently working on a piece that hopefully it sells for 15,000 ringgit or even more to help out musicians in need of medical treatments. You know, and soon, there will be a series of artworks for cancer patients that are in need of medical treatment. So if you're hearing me out there, you know, it's like, let's come together as a collective and help those in need. Because, you know, when we offer hope, we can reinstill faith.
And I guess, you know, if anyone wants to get in touch, of course, you're available on all the social media channels and there is a way to collaborate, of course. Yeah, I guess you're putting yourself out there in that sense.
Definitely. I mean, we have to work together.
Definitely. I guess, is there any particular assistance that you think would be most helpful for you or your work at this point in time?
I actually would like to collaborate with various camera brands in supporting photography equipment. The camera is my main tool in a way that, you know, I use it in a way that is assisting the world of conservation because they're doing it for the betterment of our only planet. I would love to engage with large corporates for their CSR activities and maybe even through my fine art prints. What else? I would like to have an exhibition in Malaysia. I've had 2 exhibitions in Paris, you know, I'm so terrible. Early on, I said I'm so patriotic. I've had 2 exhibitions in Paris and not yet in Malaysia.
Oh, dear.
And hopefully from these exhibitions, you know, the goal is to encourage the younger generation as well as to engage with major corporates on the facets and how we can improve environmental education and further conservation activities. A lot of assistance will be most helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, just to pivot back to, you know, the work of conservation, you know, in all your years of working in our jungles, are there any trends that you're witnessing that's maybe particularly worrying to you? You know, are you seeing more deforestation, for example? You know, is it harder to see wildlife in the wild these days?
It is a question that we do get a lot because we are always in the field, we are outdoors, and one particular year we were traveling close to 200 days in a year. But what I've come to realize, going through the archived images that I have, not only that the weather has become a little bit warmer, this has actually caused wildlife species to move further uphill for shelter. Mm. But throughout my career, I've seen more green landscapes which are now turning brown. Even the water in our lakes and river are less clear than what it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad because this pollution is kind of somewhat like a cancer to our wildlife species. And it's really sad to say there used to be more wildlife out there. Even if we don't see them, we could hear them from a distance. You know, it's just harder these days.
Oh, that's a real shame. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, our wildlife world, I mean, they got it tough.
Definitely. Yeah. Are you kind of hopeful that, you know, the situation will improve, you know, especially with so many more conservationists and, you know, so much of work to help promote the importance of protecting our biodiversity?
Yes, I'm most hopeful, you know, it's like, and one must always remain hopeful. It is kind of like a basic human instinct to survive, and I'll always remain hopeful that situations will improve.
Okay, all right. And yes, I think that's a message that always comes from people working in the conservation field. If you lose hope, you know, that's it. So you can never lose hope. You must always keep trying. And just, you know, going back to the work that you do, this isn't exactly the safest job in town, you know. So many dangers, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that are associated with wildlife photography. Can you share any stories, you know, any close encounters that you've experienced while on an expedition or on a photo shoot?
Indeed, this is actually one of the most dangerous jobs out there. all I wanted was pretty pictures. I didn't know that this is what it took. But But yeah, we learn through experience, and we just need to be mindful of what we're doing, and we always need to be aware of our surroundings. I've had a couple of close encounters with wild elephants, wild boars, cobras. These were very heart-stopping moments. One of my most recent encounters was in 2019, where a group of poachers were firing warning shots at us. That was no fun, but the team and I were back in action the very next day. Eventually, the army was brought in, and unfortunately, the poachers fled. But, you know, if we can't reason with wildlife, but we can gauge their next move from studying their behavior. But I guess there's no way to reason with people with guns when their intentions were up to no good in the first place. But yeah, the many dangers, there'll always be a series of highs and lows in this kind of job. 2019 was an eye-opener that people are resorting to poach wildlife species to extinction in what I can only comprehend as these are desperate people. Another thing in the world of conservation is that if we can eradicate poverty, nature will thrive. And I only learned this by collaborating with various NGOs and helping them with, you know, photographing the subjects of their study. And yeah, one way nature can thrive is to eradicate poverty.
One of the great
challenges. It is very far-fetched, right? But it's a dream if we could do that.
No, I mean, I don't want to say it sounds far-fetched. It should be what we're all aspiring to, pretty much.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And just, you know, in terms of the work that you're doing, is there any particular animal or species that you never tire, you know, photographing, you know, of capturing through your lens?
I'm always intrigued by animals, and you know, being a photographer, I'm not biased, or I'm in awe of every living species on this planet. I can go on for days, even months, just focusing on one particular species. So no, I never get tired of photographing any species, for that matter.
And you've produced you know, such a huge body of work. What would you say makes a great wildlife shot actually stand out? What are some of the shots that you are most proud of as well?
What makes a wildlife photo stand out? Well, to my opinion, it is the heart of the story. It is the expression and the emotion displayed and felt by the viewer, and the emotion displayed by the wildlife species, you know, all that in just one frame. A great wildlife photo of a certain animal in its natural habitat is never easy to obtain. Yet the stories that it can tell is very pacifying. For me, I like telling romantic stories from my images.
Okay.
Whether it be the species behavior, the love for their young or their mate, and even the relationship of that particular species to the environment. And I like to put these kind of stories out to show the world that, hey, you know, it ain't that bad. We have a beautiful, loving planet that we live on. For the artworks that I'm currently working on, I'm connecting the traits of wildlife species and relating them back to human traits. So to my opinion, apart from the heart of the story in a single frame, it's the connection that we can provide others through wildlife documentations.
Because people love a story, isn't it? They like to have a way to connect with what they're looking at. And I suppose having that sort of narrative to accompany the photos, that really, really makes a difference, I suppose, right?
It does. And every time, you know, I'll disappear for months and then come back to the city, and all my good mates will be like, hey, you know, you've been missing for a while. You know, tell us some stories.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, yeah, let's put up a cup of coffee and we'll go all night long.
So, you know, do you face any challenges as a wildlife photographer? Is that, you know, what would be some of the main challenges?
Okay, realistically, yeah, it is seeking the subject itself. You know, it's so hard to find wildlife species naturally in the environment. Mm. But I've been fortunate to be collaborating with so many field researchers, and they know where these species are. Of course, it is very important to them, so not anyone can just, you know, come into a research site with no permits and no experience just to document the species. That is one reason I collaborate with them, also to get the shots that I want. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I figured that it's like, it's going to do nothing sitting in my hard drive. I might as well let them use it. So the first challenge is always seeking that species itself. But most of the challenges in this kind of job is very physically related. You know, you get scratches, you get bumps, you get aches, you get bruise, you get fatigue, you get heat stroke. You know, the list can go on, but I'm not here to scare everyone. But, you know, it's like, I do not let this bother me anymore, because through my experience, you know, I've just kind of like mastered the technique to pace myself. You know, I used to run like a wild child in the forest, you know, just run after elephants and run after orangutans, and I used to get hurt. So it ain't just, it's not worth it, because if you hurt yourself at the very beginning stage of the expedition, what are you going to do next?
Right, exactly. So, yeah,
I mean, there are so many challenges that we face as wildlife photographers. Weather could be a factor. Yeah, it's like infections could be a factor, but you just need to pace yourself. And there is no way that we can rush a wildlife photo. We just need to be very, very patient and persistent. We can't really depend on luck, because if you're not there at a certain time, you don't get the shot. But that is just the reality of it. It is a very, very challenging job. But you know, if we are not challenged, how do we improve, Kan?
That's right, definitely. All right. And I guess just to kind of conclude, Sanjit, you know, is there any animal or species that you would most like to capture that you haven't quite already done?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I like to challenge myself with elusive wildlife species, and especially those that are listed as critically endangered or endangered. I mean, these are the species that the heroes, and these are the most amazing species. Elusive species such as pangolins, you know, they're so difficult to find in the forest. Tapes, not easy to photograph them. They're always hiding somewhere in the shade, and they're black and white. Tarsiers, you know, that little tiny primates with big eyes. They are so fast, and they're nocturnal. Most of them are nocturnal, so it's so difficult to get a picture of them at night in the forest. Oh dear, the list can go on for days, but I am truly fascinated with almost every species that are out there. They all have their traits and their stories and their romanticism to it. So, but yeah, you know, the minute that I get a chance to go out there and photograph all kinds of species, I will still do that.
Okay, all right. You know, and if anyone is interested to see your work, or, you know, to kind of, and the beautiful, absolutely beautiful, stunning shots that you've taken, you know, in this last almost 20 years, I guess maybe you can share how is the best way to get in touch with you, and also how to have a look at your body of work.
For the fine art works, it's on Instagram. So it's jitspix_fineart. Mm-hmm. I've got a Facebook page, which is called Jitspix Wildlife Photographer. And there's an official website, which is jitspix.com. And you can always click on the fine art button to see which prints go to which conservation body or charities that we're doing at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. But before you go, any last message that you'd like to leave us with, you know, with regard to conservation, and, you know, why we all really need to find different ways, I suppose, you know, those of us who are not scientists, how can we find different ways in our life to contribute towards wildlife conservation?
Well, it is a beautiful world out there. And by supporting those that are in direct relationship with this world, you know, the NGOs, the conservationists, you know, we can continue to bring this beauty to you through moving images while protecting the most important asset to the human race, which is our natural environment.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Sanjit. I've been speaking to Sanjit Pal Singh, who is a nature and wildlife photographer, and he's been sharing his experiences and his work, you know, in conservation through photography. So again, if you'd like to see his work or if you'd like to get in touch with him, the best thing to do is head to jitspics.com. That's JITSPICS.com. You can also find him on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you'd like to find out more about his work with his wife, Dr. Ravinder Kaur, you can go to their website, exploregaia.com. That's XPLOREGAIA.com. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.